Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hello, 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 my friends. Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. That's me. Today, I'm very excited to bring to you a beautiful, beautiful soul that I've been blessed to know for the last couple of years, Cynthia Ocelli. I'm going to bring her on in just a moment. So those of you that are coming on in, say hey, let us know where in the world you're from. We're excited to have you here with us and do a little introduction and an introduction to Cynthia, and we're going to get started. So first off, this is Off the Cuff with SDJ. That's me, and I am a psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and a change maker in the world. And what I love to do, and the reason I do this podcast, is to bring to you other beautiful, amazing souls in this world, share their stories, their perspectives, and the change makers in the world. And this gal right here, she is one of the change makers. Her name is Cynthia Ocelli, and she is a phenomenal woman. And I know you're going to feel the same way after you get to know her as well. So let's bring her on, and then I will read her bio and get you introduced to her. So hang tight. Let me go find her. All right, sister. Hey, girl.
Hi, Sunny. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm so happy to have you with me. So I felt like when we very first met, I felt like we kind of lived like the same story. So, and I think you even said that to me, maybe like, you just told my life up there on stage. And I'm like, oh, well, tell me about your life thing. Oh, yeah, pretty similar.
Exactly.
So I'm going to share the bio so people know a little bit about you. But what I really want to share is, so you wrote me, you did give me your bio because we do ask the guests to give us our bio. But then I did read on your website that you said, I'm not a fan of traditional bios. And I loved that. I'm like, oh my God, I so need to copy that, because me either. It's all these labels and these titles. And like, that's my greatest struggle and my team's greatest struggle is, what the hell do we call you, Sunny? And I'm like, just call me Sunny. You know?
That's right. And that's the most accurate, really. Right?
Exactly.
That's so much more about who you really are.
Yes.
I need a name. I got to figure it out.
Yes, I know. I loved it. So, all right. But I am going to read her bio just so all of you that don't know much about her can get a little insight here. So, author, mentor, dream architect, an American success story. Cynthia is an accomplished author of Resurrecting Venus by Hay House, and a radio host and a mentor. Hailed by President Clinton as an American success story, as Cynthia helps people become their greatest expression. A former ninth grade dropout and welfare mom. That's the part we have in common. Cynthia turned her life around, graduated from law school. We don't have that in common.
You didn't miss anything.
Built a successful business and raised two thriving children. She's the host of Self-Centered with Cynthia Ocelli. I love the title of that, on Unity Radio, and leads a community of 60,000 plus women. Welcome, my friend, Cynthia.
Thank you so much. I'm so, so privileged to be here, especially in the midst of all that we're doing and all that we're going through, this sort of marathon of COVID and everything. These are the places that are just like, they're the oasis that we all need. And we need to sort of have the self-discipline to show up. And
important points, and coming together in not in spite of what's happening, but because of, like, pulling ourselves together and creating this connection and this community with just, there's so many amazing people in this world, and not everybody always has a voice.
Yeah, well, if you look for an opportunity, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, no matter what your situation is, if you go out into the world looking for reasons to be unhappy, or you stay in your house looking for reasons to be unhappy, or you search for the opportunity and think, what's new here? What could I create here? What's seeking to come out? And why is this happening? What wants to show up? Well, that's a whole other world.
Yeah.
And it'll take you so far, and you can discover things. You could look back on this and go, that was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? It's all perspective, right?
Yes.
It's all perspective. And I think so often we get stuck in the idea that, and it isn't that there isn't challenges, but we get stuck in the idea that because it's different, it has to be hard, and we have to make it hard. We have to see through the hard glasses, and we have to
and look at everything from that perspective. It's like, there's a whole other side to this. And it doesn't mean you stay on one side the whole way, because we do live in a this and that world. But come on, like, there are a lot of gifts and a lot of blessings, but you've got to search.
Absolutely. And the hard, you're right. Everything doesn't have to be a war and a battle, but we're sort of, especially women, Western women, American women, we have that superwoman syndrome. Like, I've got to just do it all, earn it all, as though there's somebody standing with a bouquet of roses and a gold medal at the end. That's like, you did it all yourself and it was hard. Good for you.
Yeah. That's
nonsense, right?
Like a badge of honor, I get my
big, like, imaginary eraser and just erase that. Erase that whole idea, because it's got to be enjoyable and fun and fulfilling, and you have to be growing and on path. And when you don't have that sense, that's an indication that it's time to show up and do something differently. You're supposed to be part of it. You're supposed to like it. You're supposed to feel some support as a co-creation rather than just you slugging it out against creation, right?
Yeah. And just forcing your way. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of forcing in my life.
I was like, when have I done that?
Yeah. I don't need to force anymore. That was a long journey. And I'm like, I would like to have the graduation certificate for that one.
Right. And then I want to retire. And that's my old career.
But then what would you really do when you retire? Like, I have my sister-in-law is like retiring like this week, and she's 57. I'm like, what do you do when you retire? Like, for me, I'm like, God, I don't know. I don't think there's enough nature for me to be out in. Like, I'm like, I just, my spirit is like, you guys are probably gonna be stuck with me for the rest of your lives.
You know? Whenever I talk with you, I always have to remind myself that there is an audience, because if there's not an audience, I'm like, I'm just telling her what she already knows and all of the time, right? I'm never going to retire either. I'm never going to go quietly into the aging woods. I'm always going to keep my mindset. I'm always going to keep my vitality. I believe that where I set my intention, that's where I go. That's where I grow. And that's for me.
Yeah.
And what happens in the rest of the world is independent of that.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I love it. I love it. See, I told you guys you'd love her already. See, they already love you. I see that. So tell me this, Cynthia. So we talked about this right before we came on. It's been a year. So 2020, yeah. It's been a year. There's been a lot of change. There's been a lot of upheaval. There's been a lot of challenge and hard times, and for sure, so many blessings for so many people. Uh-huh. But it's not just about COVID. There's a lot of change. A lot of systems are breaking down. A lot of topics have come up. And I know that that's one of the things that's been on your heart, is the racial injustice and the challenges in, you know, what the way that I word it is learning to walk the world in a different way. Yeah. Because a lot of people need to learn to walk the world in a different way than they have been. And not intentionally or otherwise, just it's time to learn something different. So can you just speak to that whole subject? Because I know that, number one, you have a different perspective than many people, and you've walked it. You've lived it on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that makes you very unique.
Yeah. And I have to speak to a couple of sides of it when I talk about it, because I am biracial. My mother looks like you, my father, African-American. So I grew up being too white to really be completely accepted by the Black community, and too Black to be accepted by the white community. And it was also another level within my household, because my father was absent. I grew up in an all-white household that was pretty racist, and racist against Blacks and Jews and every type of anything, Asians, anything. And so it was common for me to hear the N-word and then, oh, but not you, Cynthia. And so I was very traumatized and conflicted and isolated. Mm-hmm. So, but I also got to sort of be the fly on the wall to sit and see how the range of people who have opinions, some were okay with racism, others were anti-racist, but we're all sort of socialized to racism and we're unaware. Even people of color are socialized to racism and we're unaware. Mm-hmm. We go to school and the education that we receive leaves out a lot of things that if we knew, we would have a different perspective and perception. And today, really, the best thing that we could do is to get ourselves educated. And the facts are out there. But the problem is we come to the table, like Thanksgiving as an example, which isn't even about the Black community. I was taught, you know, the pilgrims, the Indians, they broke bread together. It was amazing. Everybody taught each other stuff and they loved each other, right?
Right.
You put a little hat and you do, everybody knows you make the turkey, you do the stuff, right?
Yep.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get ourselves educated so that we can understand. The problem in the racial discussion, which I am encountering on a regular basis, is it's personal. It feels personal. And once something feels personal, you're going to defend or feel guilty or get angry or divide. You go away from the subject matter into, well, I didn't do that. That's not true. Well, how can you prove that? And you start to really just have a personal division and attack between people.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, I feel like my DNA is sort of the living example that we can integrate, that we can coexist, that we are the same, that we can understand and live in harmony. Like I'm physically doing that every moment of my life.
Sure.
Getting educated is actually very easy because we have the internet. My greatest resource that I love so much is Ben and Jerry's. Like, get yourself a pint of Ben and Jerry's, go to their site, click on what we care about. You will learn everything about all the issues that seem so triggering and divisive. And what is so beautiful is that in every conversation that I've been able to educate, a compassionate heart just warms. A compassionate heart doesn't need to divide along a party line, an ideology, a color, or anything. A compassionate heart knows, yes, this is truth. Truth is good. This is loving. This is caring. Here we can move forward.
Sure.
And is if we get educated, that's going to be where the answer is. The personal experiences of racism that I'm constantly dealing with. I have a daughter who's very fair and she looks completely white. And I have a son who looks African-American.
Mm-hmm.
They both have nice cars. They're both college educated by top universities. And they are both have no record. They both drive the same streets. One never has been pulled over, my white daughter. My Black son has been pulled over more than once, and not just pulled over. Late at night, two SUVs, one in the front and one in the back, stopping him in the middle of the street, mm-hmm. where he's shaking and afraid for his own physical safety, wasn't cited, let him go. No reason to pull him over and no reason to treat him that way. And then they would even say, why do you look so nervous? And he said, what do you mean? Why do I look nervous?
Right. Why would I not be nervous?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so as a mom looking at this, just sitting here, it's scary and heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And I've spent my life, to go back to our collective stories as young teen welfare moms, mm-hmm. we all have our own motivations. My main motivation when I got out of the garage, I was living on welfare. I know you had your garage. Mine might have been nicer. I don't know. I wanted to get my son out of a neighborhood where Black boys were dying. Mm-hmm. And so here I am all these years later, and I'm a law school graduate. I have paid way more in taxes than I ever collected on welfare. Mm-hmm. I have produced two children who have gone to college and I paid for their college. Like I have become everything that you would think would legitimize someone. Mm-hmm. But in my week after I graduated from law school, I had my little white baby in a stroller and I was in one of the most amazing parks in Los Angeles, Holmby Park. It's by the Spelling Mansion. It's just surrounded by mansions. It's gorgeous. And I'm pushing my baby. I used to run into Ronald Reagan there, and this lady stops me and she says, your baby, this baby here, she's so beautiful. And I say, oh, thank you so much. And she says, what family do you work for?
Mm.
It's like, these are the ways that it's pervasive. And she's not a mean person. I didn't turn around and go, you know, horrible racist thing. This is the way that she sees the world and the way that she understands it. Right.
Yep. Yep.
It's up to us to become educated. And it's up to us to have the conversations that are uncomfortable. And it's also up to us to know that it's not personal. So when someone says this system needs to change, I do all this work in women's empowerment. And, you know, CEOs, I think 3% are women or some infinitesimal number are women, right? And it's not because women are inferior, unintelligent. It's not even because of motherhood. There are plenty of competent, worthy candidates who could do that job as well, if not better, than their male counterparts,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
We can agree as women that some percentage of those guys are going to have to give up their seats for women to get in there, right? Mm-hmm. We understand that, and we don't look at that and think that there's something, a personal attack about that. We think this is a way to write the world, mm-hmm. to make it more representative, to balance it out.
Yep.
Well, you can do that same analysis with race and CEOs. It's mm-hmm. exactly the same thing. Sure. And the way that we can verify that there's such a dearth of women present in politics and leadership positions, the very same thing is happening in racial issues. So it's just about, we need to sort of align and balance. And you can say the same thing with LGBTQ. Like, it's about people being allowed to be equal and right. represented equally in all systems of government and life and treated fairly. So it's not, I have this discussion all the time where people are like, no, all lives matter. Why Black lives matter? All lives matter. And it's like, no, all houses matter. But the one on fire is the one the fire department should go to. But all houses matter. But let's just spray water on the burning one. Let's tend to the one that needs help right now.
Yeah.
And that is heavy in 2020.
Yeah, it's very heavy.
I feel like we have to deal with it, because if we don't, it will remain there to be dealt with.
Yeah.
So let's just do it.
Yeah, we don't want to just bury it under the carpet like it's been buried under the carpet for years and 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 years, and instead just bring it up and experience it. What I really liked about what you said was, because I know this to be true. So I have an adopted brother that's Black, and he's Black, like he's dark, right?
Right.
And I lived with him for a year and a half after I got out of my shack, and we shared a home together. And so we would go shopping together, and we would have a lot of incidents where he was followed around, like he was going to be shoplifting, or people would say things to me like, he almost like what a whore I was, because yeah. I was with this Black man, but I have a white baby, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I've experienced from my own perspective, a lot of that inequality. And so one of the things you said that I really loved, and I hope all of you heard this, was it ends up that people start taking it personal. Mm-hmm. And when you get to take things personal, you become protective. When you become protective, you become defensive. When you become defensive, you can no longer hear anything except for your own voice. The end.
Yep.
The end. And so this isn't about being personal. This is about, yes, compassion and equality and kindness and recognition and ownership of where you may need more education. And so I really, really loved that you said that, because we're at a time where I think people have seen so much, and it's been so upsetting on all fronts in all ways, that people just don't want to deal with it. So let's put it under the carpet again. Let's just do it for a couple more decades and see what happens. And it's not going to change. And then when you just said that, I thought that was a great analogy. And the one that, you know, so I asked Spirit, because when this was happening, I had clients that were saying, Sunny, how do we deal with this? How do we respond? What do we do? Mm-hmm. And how do we understand the Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, et cetera, et cetera. And what the angels gave to me was a very similar message as what you said. And so sometimes we just need to hear it in different ways. So the way they said it to me was, if my son, my son Arizona, if he were sick, I would come on social media and I would say, hey, everyone, my son's in the hospital. He's really not doing well. Could you send prayers and love to him? Mm-hmm. And everybody would do that. Nobody would say, Johnny is in the hospital over there and you should be sending prayers to him too. They wouldn't say all these other people matter too. They would just be saying he's sick right now. So he needs attention right now. So those are both two really great ways to see a perspective that gets you out of the personalization of it. And just let's put the energy where the energy is needed.
Right. And it's not to say that everyone else, I have, you know, women's group, and I try to keep it very, very centered on the micro, on the individual experience of women, because on top of all of it, yes, there's this macro systemic problem, and we're all still living our lives and dealing with our day-to-day challenges. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes people will say, you're talking to me about this global issue or this national issue. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent.
Right.
Okay. And you're making that like, so if my rent doesn't matter, my life doesn't matter, I don't matter. That's not the message either. Of course you matter. And it doesn't mean you haven't worked hard to where you to get to where you've gotten. And it doesn't mean that you're worth less or that you should have less. Everything counts. It's just that when we're making that point, it needs to be seen in context and understood again as not personal, not a personal rejection of anything about you.
Right. Right. Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. So I hope you're all hearing that because that's it's so important. And I know so many people that have been attacked and shamed and blamed and then up in arms and defensive and angry and frustrated. And it just comes down to, guys, we're all human. Let's just get back to the spirit of each of us. We're all connected. So when one's hurting, we all hurt.
Yeah, definitely. And just to another point I wanted to make for me, to be a bit fair here, I'm fair in complexion. And I was raised to really understand how to navigate the white community because that's the community that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. I receive a lot more privilege than my own son receives. And he's in a new generation and younger. But just because he's darker, there's this whole other colorism that I will receive more benefits, more doors will open for me when they see me. Mm-hmm. And that's just as wrong.
Right.
Right. Because sometimes people will say to me, well, how did you do it? And it's not that it disproves the fact that there's racial inequality and a systemic problem. It's that, no, I got special privilege because of something so ridiculous, as, you know, how I showed up.
Yes.
So I just have to balance that out because a lot of times people think I'm not aware of that. I'm totally aware of that.
Yeah. Well, you're living it. And I think too, you know, I have two nieces that are also, mother is white, father is black. And I remember them saying, you know, I'm not white enough for this. No, I'm not black enough for this. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's just, it would make me really, I think sometimes I tend to be a little more naive in ways like I'm like, it just would dishearten me. Yeah. Like how, like that, like I have no words. Like, what are you fucking
you learn to be the outsider. You learn that you are the outsider. You learn to be sort of the perfect stranger all of the time. And I think that as with all things that we encounter, it requires you to reframe it. And for me, the reframe is this is an opportunity because what am I? I'm between the two. I'm the bridge between the two. I'm the harmony between the two. I can communicate both ways. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to pull these two together.
Yes.
And that it's hard when you're a child, not going to happen, mm-hmm. but it's a choice that you can make as a mixed person, as a biracial person, multiracial person, as an adult to sort of realize I can do a little bit more. I can open doors on both sides and pull the middle. And that's become really important to me.
And bridge that gap that so many people get stuck in and then throw it away or just shut it down. Just disconnect from one side or the other. Sure. Yeah, I love it. I love that. Okay, so you do. So you have a group of 60,000, I think, 60,000 plus women, self-centered. I love that title, self-centered. I so love it because what it sounds like and what it is are two different things, right? Perspective. I'm sure that you were like, when you hit that, you're like, that's it.
Yes. I wanted people to be like, oh, that's awful. What a nasty thing to say.
Yeah. Like trigger them a little. Yeah. I'm with you. I like that too. Like let's come in the back door and really wake it up. You know, so that self-centered, obviously you focus likely on, you know, self-care and focusing on self and getting rid of that, the cape that you were talking about earlier. Do you find specifically as you've matured, do you find that it gets harder for people to get self-centered or do you find that it's easier as they get older? Because I see both sides. Like I see some that it's like, now that my kids are gone, okay. And then I see them using that as the excuse. So I wondered what your perspective is on that.
I don't know that I could divide it along age. If I had to pick, I would say it gets easier as you get older. But for me, what really dictates it is how much self-awareness you're using, that you have and that you're using. Because once you become self-aware and you start to realize what's not working, what makes you feel negative and insecure, instead of making band-aids or trying to distract yourself with Netflix or Candy Crush or something to do, you start to examine it. And once you shine your self-awareness on something and start to examine it, you realize what your power is, what's possible for you. You look around at others and you say, well, if that was possible for them, what might be possible for me? Mm-hmm. You start to do the journey, which the journey will lead you to understanding that if I am centered and I can center myself, I'm pretty much able to handle anything life throws my way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a power that nobody can give to me and nobody can take from me. Mm-hmm. And that becomes your anchor and your foundation and your rock that you build yourself on. You sort of start unlearning all of the things that you accepted before you had the ability to choose your own beliefs. You stop letting the media tell you how to look and how to sound and what your success picture or image is. You start becoming more true and authentic, and you start giving yourself permission to say yes to what you already know that you like and want. And permission to release and let go of what isn't serving you anymore, what you've outgrown, what you never agreed with in the first place, but never had a chance to look at. Mm-hmm. That comes with maturity often.
Yeah.
Because when we're busy and we're young and we're running and we're, you know, like, oh, I got all this stuff, and we're just like a high ball of energy moving. Self-awareness doesn't really get a lot of time in your life.
But we're so, a lot of times when you're younger and you're raising your kids, there's so many distractions. There's, you know, the football game or the kids doing this or the homework or the, so there's so many distractions. And as you start to get where you have some space,
yeah,
and you're like, oh, here I am. here I am.
Yes. And hopefully you have enough resources and influences. I know that people that watch you would have this preset. Sometimes people, when they start to realize here I am, they're busy watching everything that's spread out or left, everything that's made space for them.
Yeah.
So instead of seeing it as making space to rise, they feel lost. They feel, what am I, who am I now? What am I going to do now? And it's agitating and it makes you feel very insecure and unstable. If you have the right resources, if you watch and listen to podcasts like this, read work like this, go to Celebrate Your Life events, read books like this, you will understand that it is the opportunity, that the universe creates that space, and that's for you to blossom and for you to fill it up. And that, again, is your mindset, and that's your self-awareness and your choice.
Yes. And again, it comes back to perspective. You get to choose. Are you going to have the perspective of loss and what's missing, or are you going to have the perspective of opportunity and possibility and what can be gained?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would your best self view this? If you were your idealized, most successful, most mature, most spiritually connected, source-driven self, what would you do and how would you see this? Mm-hmm. When you answer that question, like you're talking to your own inner sage, it's often not what you're showing up as today. But when you have that conversation with your inner sage and you do that exploration, you can then say, oh, that's what I would do. I'm going to do it now.
Yeah. Exactly. And get, I think the other piece and something we're talking about before we jumped on was that this year, 2020, you know, 2020 vision we've talked about, it's created and I think it's still in creation for a lot of people, but it's helping you get clear, clarity. And maybe it's clarity that, man, I'm living with the people I don't want to live with. Clarity that, man, I'm doing the job I don't want to do. Maybe it's that, geez, I've had this passion and dream and I've got this space now to do it.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing that if you can not focus on the loss of whatever the loss of money, the loss of lives, the loss of jobs, the loss of freedoms, the loss of travel. If you don't focus on that, you say, there's gifts here. And what can I, and how can I create from this space? Because the loss exists.
Yes.
It's there.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the opportunity to find that beauty and the grace that's living here as well. And it may just be that the loss, just like you said, it's creating the space for the blessings to rise, for the gifts that you're meant to put out in the world. And so clarity is what this year is about to me.
I'm such a fan of yours, Sunny. I'm like, yes, 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 absolutely. I'm just like all over that. Yes. And you know, you can look at the negative things all day long and you can feed them all day long and they actually become bigger and stronger and you get nothing. You're just depleted. You actually were very busy. You invested all your energy. You will have zero return. It will be a negative return. And you wonder why you aren't creating anything, why things aren't changing. Where you place your energy is where you're investing in your life and your future. So in that moment where there just doesn't seem like anything good is going on, that's the time to start ticking off the gratitude. Somewhere I read, it was like the 10 finger, like 10 things. Cause you always got your 10 fingers with you. Yeah. 10 things. What am I grateful for? What am I grateful for? What's possible? And know that in these dark times, in the darkest of times, there are people who are creating game-changing, world-changing, life-changing dreams. Mm-hmm. It's happening right now.
Yes.
You could align with that, or you could align with people who are saying this is going to be the worst thing ever. That's your choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And either way, you get to be right.
Yes. You are absolutely right.
So if you like to be right, you just go right on ahead and whichever direction you're looking, that's where you're going to be right.
Yes. And for some of us, the message might be, and I'm guilty of this one. That's why I say this one. I am the one who wants to stand out there and grab everyone who's going the wrong direction and move them to the right direction. And just keep trying to move them. But that doesn't work. Right. You don't change others, but you can be a model for change. Yeah. So take all your outward focus back, your external focus, bring it back to the internal and ask yourself the deepest questions and reach to your greatest height, following your passions, because they're hardwired. They're not like, we all don't have the same ones. Our TVs tell us we have the same ones, you know, cars and nonsense and everything else. But if you're responding to your core and your truth, we're perfect tapestry, every thread represented. Follow that because you're already hardwired to succeed at it and you're already hardwired to persevere past the point of difficulty that every worthy thing has in it. Mm-hmm. Take that and run with it. And this opportunity now where there's so much off the table, you're on the table. You are there in your fullness. Maximize that. Invest in you. Let this time be the year that something changed, that you grew something that mattered to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how perceptively big or small it is. It's that it's coming from here, that it's something that you get to nurture and that nurtures you. And, mm-hmm. and no more bullshit. Like stop making excuses, right?
Yes.
Be the change.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, size is irrelevant. and also things that start out small. You know, you have your plan and the universe has its plan.
Yeah.
Show up.
Yes. And the other thing, you know, like you said, okay, well, I'm the one that likes to grab them and take them over here. I'm the one that likes to do 150 things. Like, I'm the one that likes to start. Yeah. And most of you know, I started all kinds of things during COVID. The last 4 months have been freaking busier than normal. And I think that for a lot of that is, you know, I have 9 fire signs in my astrology chart. Like, I don't even know how to slow. Slow is not like, I don't have that speed. But I do think that what I've learned as far as clarity is that that the things that sit in my heart, no matter how much time, energy, money, investment it is, if I feel it here, it has to come through. If it doesn't, it's almost painful. Like, I feel it and I need to give. It's almost like you're going to give birth. And I've had C-section, so I never gave birth that way. But I imagine that it's like, say, nope, you got to wait 2 more days. And the baby's already halfway out. Nope, keep it in. No, it's on its way. Like, it's coming.
It's going to happen.
I remember when I was, you know, I was a teenage mom like you were. And after I was in labor the first time, like 36 hours, and they sent me home. And I remember being in labor, and it was hard labor because it was induced. And I remember saying to myself, because I didn't dare say this out loud because I knew people would think it was stupid, like, I don't want to do this. Yeah. Like, reverse.
Okay.
This is not going to be good. I don't want to do this. So that was not an option, Sunny. But I think that when you have that, you can't bullshit yourself. Like, you know, it's there. Just let it.
Yeah.
Give yourself
permission, like allow it. I think that we can blame external circumstances. We can assign blame to people who aren't even alive anymore, past relationships, all kinds of things. And it can feel very real. And there are plenty of psychiatrists who would justify it and tell you that's true. You can also let it go and make a decision and move forward. And literally, you can't pick through the trash to find out to solve the problem, but you can discard the trash.
Exactly.
And move on.
Yeah. And that's such a good point. Really, really important is, and I 100% agree that, you know, there are a lot of things you don't have to just figure it all out. You don't have to actually even, I really am a believer that a lot of people spend energy. I won't call it wasted, but I would dare get close to that. Spend energy trying to understand why every single thing in their life happened the way that happened. Or you can say it happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm focusing my energy that is used for creation on something that can shift me in a direction that feels good instead of sit in the shit pile and try to figure out why it happened.
Yes. Yes. Our brains, it's so amazing that we have these human brains and they're so effective at so many things. What they're not effective at is taking a negative emotion, hyperanalyzing it and solving it.
Yeah.
That will never happen. Mm-hmm. It will never happen. And you could literally spend weeks, months, years just grinding it and depleting yourself and robbing things that you value of your attention. Mm-hmm. And I learned that firsthand when I had a terrible experience. I was a young mom. My husband had a brain aneurysm and it was unfathomable and it was bizarre. And I could have sat there fixated on that for years. And that would have cost my children. Mm-hmm. That would have cost them the parent that they had left. And I could have taken my joy and it could have made me a pessimist and it could have made me bitter instead of better. That was a choice. And looking back at those grown children, I'm so glad that I wasn't derailed into the myopic fixation on trauma or upset or things going in a way that was crazy and unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Instead choosing, I still have me. I still have my energy.
Yeah.
It is still possible because possibility, the energy of possibility is present all of the time.
Yes.
Right now. So is hatred, so is despair, so is grief, so is sadness. All the energies are possible and available and flowing by. I get to choose what I'm going to plug into, and I'm not superhuman. I'm going to wake up at some point and be like, I feel terrible. I'm sad. I'm this, I'm that. I can visit, but I'm not setting up camp there.
Yeah, you got it. Amen.
I'm then going to choose to get back to possibility, back to inspiration, back to a greater good for me or someone else. And that is like the magic recipe. Like that's the secret sauce to everything. I'm going to take every negative thing and I'm going to use it for something good for me or someone else. Everything will be solved.
Yeah. And you can do that in the hardest, heaviest times. And as Cynthia and I are talking, for those of you that don't know a lot about our stories, we really do have a lot of similarities in our stories. And we're two of the people that in the statistics made it.
Oh,
in the statistics wouldn't even have survived to the ages that we are. Our children wouldn't be successful. They wouldn't be parts of healthy parts of society. And so I think that it's important to hear how important mindset is and you choosing. You have a choice always.
Yes, that is everything. It really is. You could sit there, and I did for a minute. And now I don't do that anymore. I asked other people. I told, you know, I made the mistake of sharing a dream I had when I was a 14-year-old dropout. And, you know, that's it. I'm done. And I'm talking about what I want to be in the future. And someone else says to me, that's ridiculous. Do you not see where you are? You should be lucky to get a job. Then when I had a baby and I'm on welfare, I'm 19 on welfare, I'm living in a garage and I'm still dreaming. And it's those dreams that are allowing me to make the plans, to make the changes. It's those fantasies that people are criticizing me for that are paving a future vision that I can identify and walk toward. And at that time, I was still open to sharing and, you know, I was naive and everybody would tell me their view of life. And the odds were that I would never, ever come close to any sort of success. It was done. It was over. It was going to be bad for me. And that has been a repeating theme. When I became a single mom again after my husband had his aneurysm, someone said to me, oh, you've got two kids and now you have all of this stuff to take care of and you have this big mortgage, you have everything. You're really hard. You're probably not going to find another relationship. You're just going to have a hard future. Like, people will always volunteer their nonsense for you. And what they're doing is they're telling you their story. They can't tell you anything else. Right. I'm telling you my story because that's what I know and that's what I see to be true. So align yourself with people who believe in possibility because it is always present. There is always someone who's going to thrive and succeed, and the odds are actually irrelevant.
Right. Right. Don't even, there's no need for measurement. We measure way too much. So don't measure and compare because it's just somebody else's experience. And the thing that is interesting as you were talking was, so you had this dream inside and had all these people that were kind of putting it down. So I was the opposite. I was the one that put down I was the one that put myself down. I quit before I ever started. And it wasn't until I read a book, it wasn't a person, I read a book that said, all you need to do is start thinking positive. And I'm like, can't be that easy for sure. Do you know my hard life? Like, this is the victim mentality. You don't understand. This was You Can Heal Your Life 30 years ago. And I'm like, she has no idea what she's talking about. But okay, well, you can just try. You just do these positive affirmations. And it wasn't about the positive affirmations. It was about the fact that if you could, just as Cynthia was saying, if you could focus on something positive that shifted your vibration, the ripple effect of that would be, you can't think a positive and a negative at the same exact time. So you're choosing where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. And when she said that to me, I thought, well, shit, I'm not doing well with everything else. So I might as well try that. Maybe. And that started to work. And so then I began to create, after a couple of years, the ability to actually dream something greater. Because I didn't know that I had it. I had it when I was young, when I was a little girl, but I lost it during all those teen years. And so a great point is for either side, if you have it inside and everybody's telling you can't, or you have it, you don't have it inside and you need to find it, either way, surround yourself in that energy internally and externally. That's the answer.
It's so wild, Sunny, you just shared that, because I'm writing my memoir now. And in the very beginning, I actually had all of that doubt. I'm there, I'm the single mom. And I was wondering what your book was, because it was also a book for me. Mm-hmm. And the book was Life 101. It was by Peter McWilliams and John Roger. And at first I was completely offended. I'll never forget, the book said, your life is what you chose. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I would never choose this. Yeah. And I just ended up here, and I was young, and I was still fresh off of other people's decision making and everything. And then after a while, I started to realize I actually get to choose. Mm-hmm. And I'm responsible for what I choose. Yeah. And even though life is challenging and things come up and happen, it's still ultimately my choice. Mm-hmm. And that was the scariest thing, because then I had to go out there in the world and risk and be uncomfortable. I, like you, was terrified of public speaking. I used to throw up all the time. Mm-hmm. Couldn't talk to anybody, couldn't do anything. And I had, that meant like at a job interview, I have to run to the bathroom and puke before they call me in.
Yeah.
Like, it was that pervasive and that deep. And it was all a choice. I still had to surround myself with positive energy so I could learn to believe in myself, take the baby steps, take the next step. You know, there's not a mountain in the world you couldn't climb if you took one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. One step at a time. Beautiful. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, Cynthia, I've got some just lighthearted, fun questions for you.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So let's hear what you got here. What is one thing that most people don't know about you?
Oh, I play World of Warcraft.
Are you good?
According to me, yes. According to my son, no. According to my daughter, so.
Okay, well, then that's pretty good. If you keep up, that's probably pretty good.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Very good.
Right now, on quarantine, that's something.
That's right.
Your family activity.
I started doing puzzles. I've never done a puzzle in my adult life. I used to do them when I was a kid, never done one in my adult life. I've done four now.
It's so good for you. Actually, like, it improves your brains, your synapses and connectivity.
Is that what it does?
Yeah. I promise.
You want me to tell you what it makes me do? It makes me go, oh my God, why would somebody take out one piece of the edge that isn't there after looking for 4 days and it freaking ends up being right in front of my face? It makes me crazy, like crazy. And then
I don't know that that's a fit for how I see your personality. You're doing it. It's good growth for you.
I'm like, this is supposed to be calming and meditative, and it's just pissing me off. But I'm still doing them because I'm looking for the calm and meditative. I'm working through the frustration and I'm getting to the calm and meditative. That's my goal.
Look at you. How patient you are.
Okay, here's another one. Do you have a quote that you live by? Whether it's yours or someone else's?
I have a quote that is on its way out because I'm tired of living by it, but it's very true and appropriate for this situation.
Okay.
Okay. For a seed to achieve its greatest expression, it must come completely undone. The shell cracks, the insides come out, and for one who doesn't understand growth, it would look like complete destruction.
Ooh.
Ooh. So I feel like we're there. We're in the growth. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, chaos precedes transformation, disorder precedes order. It's true. It's like when we talked before, it's true. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think I'm going to pick a new one. Like, people love to cook dinners and give me massages for me. I'm crafting a new one.
Yes, I think that's great. I remember probably about 15 years ago, a lot of the thing that I heard a lot was, Sunny, you always have to learn the hard way. You always have to learn the hard way. And okay. So about 15 years ago, this was like 10 years after I'd heard that forever. It just occurred to me one day out of the blue, maybe you could learn through grace and ease instead, you know.
Love it.
Like, oh, I'm going to use that. I learned through grace and ease. And I think I still sometimes internally feel like I learned the hard way, but the grace and ease is, it's easing its way in.
I'm there. I'm stealing that one. I'm going to replace that. So that was the last time that is my quote.
Very good.
I live and I learn.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Okay. What is one of the most exciting things you've ever done?
One of the most exciting things I have ever done. Gosh, my level of excitement is probably different from everyone. The things that excite me. I think the most exciting thing I've ever done, to be honest, is to jump off of a yacht naked into the Mediterranean.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
It was scary. It was exciting. It was exhilarating. It felt glamorous. It was just like one of those times you look back in your life, like, I'm happy I did that. I probably won't do that now. Now I'd be thinking, what's in that water? Who's over there? Is anybody watching? Where's, you know, now I'm fully present. Mm-hmm. That was really fun.
Okay. That's awesome. And it didn't hurt.
No, it didn't hurt.
Okay, good. Because sometimes how big was the yacht? I mean, did you jump off
they have the little edges that are like the diving board and the walkout for you to jump off. And I'm not like a diver. I didn't try to do anything fancy.
Oh, you didn't do like a beautiful swan dive in. It was just
Yes, I had no clothes on. I'm trying to keep things, you know, relatively in their location as I'm making the entry. So no swan dives, no cannonballs, none of that.
I love it. I love it. I know. I think it always looks prettier in our minds than it does like in the visual.
Yes, I'm glad. This was before like social media and cell phones. You wouldn't catch me doing it now. I'm not having that come across Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, back in the day. Okay. Do you read? Do you like to read?
Yes.
What are you reading right now?
Girl Child by Tupelo Hassman. Mm. I love it. It's just hard hitting. It's about a girl who grows up in a trailer park in Reno, Sparks, Reno area. And she's just, it's a coming of age story, but she's raw and she's real. And it sort of reminds me of that fiery energy we have when we're new. Before the world's taught us what's possible, before, like, we're dealing with hard stuff and we're starting to internalize it, but she's punchy and she's alive. And I like to connect with that because we can still connect with that and utilize that. It's up to us if we're going to approach the world with the beginner's mind, with that youth, with that innocence, with that belief that anything might be possible. And yeah, there's still a bunch of crap happening.
Awesome. Okay. Last question. Well, actually, last two questions. In one or two words, what is your greatest challenge?
Self-discipline.
Okay. In one or two words, what is your greatest quality?
It's more than two words. So I would say possibility, the ability to see possibility.
Yeah. And you've used that word a lot during this interview. So that's absolutely true. And such a gift.
I love that. That to me is everything.
Yeah. I'm there with you, sister. Thank you very, very much. Okay. So do you have a website for everybody to go to check you out? Do you have a place you want to send them to, Cynthia? If people want to learn more about what you're doing and what you're creating and your book, Resurrecting Venus, where do they go, hon?
CynthiaAcelli.com. You can opt in anywhere. There are a bunch of freebies. I have some free courses, some meditations. You can get Resurrecting Venus. You can tune in to, we're both on Unity Online Radio. I am dying for you to come and be my guest on Self-Centered so I can pick your brain because you're just amazing. I would love for everyone to tune in and also just sort of stay with me as I go through the process of writing this memoir. It is a memoir of transformation.
There's transportation there.
A lot of cars, a lot of buses, a lot of airplanes. It's really about transformation. And I'm writing it in a way that you can extrapolate and use it, use that energy underneath it, because we are the same. We have the same ability to make the same choices.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So CynthiaAcelli.com. Her name is right there. So you know how to spell it because she's got a couple C's and L's in there. So I had to look twice. I might make sure I spell it right. So you can grab that information there. All right. Any other last message you would like to leave with our audience, Cynthia?
I just want everyone to look around for the opportunities today, to look away from all of the heaviness and look for the light and the lightness and the opportunity. When you look for it, you'll find it. And when you find it, don't let it go.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you, sister.
Thank you. I love you.
It was beautiful. I thank you so much for sharing and for just being so open and present. It's such a nice thing to see.
Thank you, Sunny. Thank you. You're my hero. I'll always be here.
Thank you, darling. Thank you guys so much for joining. I hope that you've enjoyed this. For those of you that are new, Off the Cuff is on every weekday at 1:11 p.m. Pacific time right here on Sunny Dawn Johnston fan page, or you can check it out at Angels and Affirmations, or if you would like, you can just watch the podcast, which is usually 3 or 4 days afterwards on whatever podcast program you have. So you can grab it on iTunes or whatever those other things are that you get with whatever phones you have. So look for it there, guys. You can check it out on my website. If you're new to me, sunnydawnjohnston.com. I hope to see you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much. Thanks, Cynthia. Mwah. Love you all. Have a good one. Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydawnjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.